Well, good evening, dear saints. Here we are again, another Tuesday night prayer talk. Tonight, I surely have some very important and specific burden. And that burden is directly related to a prayer request. And in these days, as we are still all praying, I hope that you're all quite focused, among other things, that the Spirit would lead you to pray. You would particularly focus on the United States of America, because this country needs prayer. Frankly, and of course, with all the things that have been going on, and now we have an election coming up in just two, 3 months, it's not too much to say that this is one of the more important elections in our lifetime. And what will the results will have a great impact on the future of this country. Now, this coming Labor Day weekend, we will be blowing the trumpet, if you will, for this nation, and specifically to see in a fresh way. All these are words and burdens were expressed by our brother Lee long time ago. From the time when he stepped foot on the shores of this country back in, when he moved here in 1962, all the way actually until when he left to be with the Lord. That burden, I can prove to you, had been consistent. The burden for the United States, as far as the Lord's recovery is concerned, the Lord's move is concerned. And I feel there is a need right now for some saints, and I hope all the saints, but probably not all the saints, but at least a group of saints here and there in the churches in different regions that will be led by the Lord to devote specific hours and times to pray for this country. Back in 1962, when Brother Lee became clear, in his third visit to the U.S., when he became clear that the Lord wants him to stay here, to migrate here and not to leave Taiwan, after much struggle, actually many months of struggles during that year 1962, he became clear. And in November of that year, he left Seattle, where he was, Seattle, Washington, to go to Los Angeles. Because he was not only clear to stay in this country, he was led by the Lord specifically to begin his ministry and work in Southern California, and more specifically in Los Angeles. And after he arrived in the month of December, the last month of that year, he and two other brothers. One brother actually is from Northern California, another brother from Southern California, came together to pray for 21 days, 3 weeks, daily, in the mornings. And sometimes we were told with fastings. And in those days, many of the saints, they work, they have an occupation, but these are the only three brothers who were, quote, they were full-time, they had the time. So that's what they did. Now, more specifically, Brother Lee told us what they pray for. They not only pray for the U.S. In general, they pray specifically for the seeking ones, very specifically for the seeking ones in this country, the seeking, primarily the seeking Christians. But you can apply this more broadly, that a sinner could be seeking as well. But they pray for the seeking ones, those prepared by the Lord, those who are even marked out by the Lord, to be part of his purpose in this age. And they pray for 21 days. And after those days, they had a conference, and that is the famous first conference ever on the all-inclusive Christ. About 70 saints or something like that met in a house on Bonnie Bray Street, and that would be a brother named Samuel Chang's home. And that's how the recovery began in this country. And I was told later, I think Jim Miller, you told me, or somebody else, that Brother Lee actually had in his pocket a little piece of paper of his mathematical calculation of how many seekers may be here in this country. First of all, based on the statistics of the number of so-called Christians, that's true Christians and false Christians, so nominal, so-called. And then with that, he calculated how many truly regenerated believers there would be. And among the regenerated believers, how many seekers were there, those who are looking for the Lord's purpose. And of course, by that time, Brother Watchman Nee's books have begun to be popular in those late 50s and early 60s, those few years. And they were passed on, and especially among so-called many free groups. And they found their way to seminary dormitories. They found their way, you know, just word of mouth to many of these ones who have heard of Watchman Nee and were looking for his writings in English. And so actually the first book by Watchman Nee in English was printed in India, in Bombay, today called Mumbai, and that is The Normal Christian Life. And that literature actually was used by the Lord to prepare the hearts of many of these seekers already. And so after that conference at the end of the year, you may say officially, beginning in the January of 1963, Brother Lee began to receive invitations from some of these free groups, some in Southern California, some in Nevada, even Las Vegas and different places. And he began to travel to meet these people. And of course, they were all typical Americans. And that's how the work started. And of course, in those years of the 60s and 70s, those prayers that they pray for in those 21 days were being answered. Brother Lee actually said this, that he had never seen in his whole life, serving life in China and so on, prayers being answered so specifically as what happened in USA in those days. Doors were open here, there, and of course he began to travel across the country, initially even, well, actually by car, all across, all the way to the south, the east, the north, and so on. Many of us didn't know that, but that's what he did. To hold conferences with these seeking people. And of course, through that, the door, you know, there were referrals and so on, word of mouth passed on in those circles. And many of those, of course, touched the ministry, were drawn, and then came into the church life. In fact, many moved to Los Angeles to be there in those years. When I came, they were still coming. And I mean, when I joined the church life in Los Angeles back in 69, well, actually I touched it in 67, they were just already coming in. And not only the Christian seekers, you know, many pastors, many missionaries and so on, but eventually, slowly, many younger people, those were the hippie days, many younger people, they were seekers. They were, you know, living that kind of life, but they were seekers. And they, by the time when I came, they were coming in by contingents, by groups. And there are even many sinners saved who were seekers, again, marked out by the Lord. And all this combined, this bit of a motley crew combined together to be the first, to be in the first move of the Lord in the USA. And of course, something similar happened up here in the Bay Area, especially in San Francisco and Sacramento and so on. And also in Texas, soon in the mid-60s, and then here and there in this country. So now, why am I talking this little bit of history with you? Because in my spirit, I sense we may be coming full circle in these days to a time where the Lord wants to gain many of his seekers in this country. Of course, this is 60, almost 60 years later. That's a generation and a half, right? If you use 40 years as a generation, and could be even two generations from that time. And so there are a lot more people in this country in those days, barely 200 million maybe. Now we have over 300 million people. And so there's a lot more people, and one can translate that into a lot more seekers of the Lord. We have to believe that among the Lord's people, they are the seeking ones, those who are dissatisfied and discontented with their experiences, with organized Christianity, or even with whatever movements they happen to be in, Christian movements. They look for reality. They look for the truth. They look for meaning. They look for God's purpose, and they're looking for a home, a family, God's family. They're looking for the church. And so I feel, brothers, in these days, and sisters, as we are burdened for a renewal of the recovery, a revival in our midst, a new advance of the Lord in this country, a fresh move of the Spirit. We also have to cast an eye, or have our eyes around us, or as Brother Lee did, with the eyes of you towards such ones, these seeking people. Brother Lee told us to know the time, the season. You have to know three things, or observe three things. Number one, you need to observe the world situation, you know, the society, the world, that situation. The second, you have to look at the Christianity situation. What is this like? And number three, we need to look at our own situation in the recovery. And with these three things, you sort of triangulate and find out your coordinates, meaning where we are. Where are we today? And only when we know where we are, then we know where to go next. And that's how Brother Lee led us all the years. He did not just have a dream and then he had some direction. Of course, the Lord anointed him. The Lord, you know, spoke to him. But he was an observer of all these things. And the direction that came to him is in part due to his observation and bringing those observations to the Lord with much prayer in his presence. And so dear saints, I feel that almost 60 years later, here we are again. Could this be the Lord's mercy to this country to have another round, another cycle? The first 60 years being the first cycle, and now another major cycle where he would gain his people for his purpose, for the church life, for the recovery. Now, I'm not so bold to say I'm clear that will happen. I do not know. But I cannot help in my prayer with the Lord to have that feeling. Based again on, again, my view of the situation without in this country of Christianity and also with his recovery. Sixty years ago, it was just a little Chinaman. A little Chinaman coming to these shores, and the first group of saints in LA was more Asians or Chinese descent than the local Americans. And it was a small number, 30-something, I don't know, who came out primarily from a place called Westmoreland Chapel. However, within 12 years, 10 to 12 years, that number grown into thousands, with mostly the typical local Americans in our midst. It was phenomenal. It was an explosion, spiritual explosion. It was a very evident move of the Holy Spirit. It was a new stage of the Lord's recovery that began in China back almost 100 years ago. I do not know, but brothers, I do have the freedom to ask you to pray. To ask you to pray. I thought about some cases. One is the case of Elijah, where he was persecuted by Ahab, by Jezebel, and all that. And he was in this place that is just kind of a, he was a being pursued, and was in a cave. You remember the still small voice that came to him, and he was saying, you know, they're trying to kill me, but there's nobody left but myself, he said. And this is the word from the Lord. He said, yet I have left myself 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed unto Baal. You know, Baal is one of those idols, a main big idol, and every mouth that had not kissed him. So here, Elijah was feeling rather lonely and somewhat complaining, but the Lord say, you don't know, I actually have preserved, left for myself, for me. It's not for you, it's for me. 7,000 there in Israel. They have not bowed their knees to Baal. They are not idol worshippers. And with their mouth, they have not kissed these idols. They're my people. Here in the footnote, Brother Lee calls these ones the faithful ones, the overcomers. They were still, these people were still in that very, very bad situation, apostate situation, standing with God. And brothers, do you not believe in this country there are those 7,000? I don't know how many, but I'm just using that word figuratively, that have not bowed their knees to the God of this age, including the religious age, right? They have not kissed these idols. They are left for the Lord. Do you not believe that this country, Christian country still, of 330 million people, so many Christians, so many truly regenerated believers, amongst them they're not, at least if you even use these numbers, actually 7,000 or more, that there are these people who are looking, they are really the pure-hearted people, the lovers of the Lord, they want more, but they don't know where. It is for such people that those three brothers pray for 21 days, and the Lord answered their prayer specifically. Specific. And as I said, not only Christians, but even sinners that are right now, but they are marked out. Brother Lee once time gave a definition of who are the seekers. He said the seekers are the marked out ones. Now I nor you know who's marked out until afterwards, right? But these are the marked out ones by God for himself. You know, overcomers are for God himself. They're not just for the church, they're for Christ. And Christ needs them in this warfare, in the spiritual warfare. So this is one case. I'm just asking, brothers and sisters, do you not believe that there are these ones? Now, we don't know who they are, but we can pray. As those three brothers did, they could pray desperately, specifically. Then Brother Lee, in this same footnote, in this chapter 19 of 1 Kings, immediately said this. He said, eventually God punished Israel by sending Israel away from their father's land as captives to Babylon. We know that. And later, here is in the same footnote, it was the overcomers among the captives who brought Israel back. Brother Lee, consider all those who returned from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the house and the city to be overcomers. One of those overcomers, Daniel, prayed with his window open toward Jerusalem. Through his gracious prayer, God brought Israel back to their father's land. So here is a pointed case of intercession. An on the mark, on point intercession by one who himself did not return, but lived a life of overcomer, of an overcomer, by his prayers, three times a day. Because he read Jeremiah of God's promise that after 70 years, there would be a return, and he prayed. And you remember, at least one time, he also prayed for 21 days until God's answer came. How many went back? You look at Ezra, of course, there were waves. You know, there's the wave one, wave two, wave three, you know, led by different people. You know, later on you have Nehemiah. In the first group you have Ezra, you have Zerubbabel, you have Joshua the priest, etc., etc. That group that it says, you know, of course, the Persian king, Cyrus, made a decree to say, God told me to tell you, the Israelites, you know, to return. But it says those people whose spirit God had stirred up went up to build the house of Jehovah. So clearly not all the Israelites, all the those in captivity, but how many? That number, not counting the male servants, female servants, was 42,360. 42,360, less than 50,000, went back. And they went back and they went to their own cities according to their lineage, their tribe and household, etc. And that was the first group. Now, then they went back in waves. And I would say in the 60s and 70s, that was wave one. My brothers and sisters, shouldn't there not be wave two or wave three? I don't know what wave we're in right now, but I'm just asking myself that, and I'm posing that question to you. When will be the next wave? You know, the first built the house, and then they built the city, and then some of those gates and walls were broken down, so Nehemiah went back and rebuilt. and so on. So it was a long-term project of many, many years, of the Lord's recovery, of the house and of the city. And today, in the Lord's recovery, I would say it is the same. There's some building up, there's some tearing down, the enemy is at work, the people stop their work, etc., etc. So there needs to be waves of remnant to return. And I like that word, remnant, the remnant of the Lord. Those who are the left ones, you know, in the case of Elijah, the Lord say, I have left for myself. These are clearly remnants. And we are the remnants today, dear saints. And there would be many more remnants that God has left. God has left for his move, for his recovery, for his kingdom in the principle of overcomers. I believe so. These are people who have are born in this country, people who have immigrated to this country, all kinds of people scattered about in this big country, this nation. Brothers and sisters, at least we can pray. We can follow Daniel, and we can follow Brother Lee to pray specifically for the return of the captivity. I hope some of you who have not done so would read that book, The Recovery of God's House and God's City. And that's 1969. On these history books of Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and I believe Zechariah. In those days, I can never forget, we were just absolutely arrested by that vision of being a remnant, a returning remnant, back to the ground of oneness in Jerusalem, as one man, as one man. You know that song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah.
We're all in one accord.
We're all in one accord
for the building
of the Lord. To Jerusalem we've come. We are through with Babylon. We've gathered to be one. Oh, glory be to God. You know? And so on, about building the altar, about building the house. Oh, I tell you, we were triumphant. We were excited. And when they laid the foundation, the old men cried and the young men shouted. We were like them that dream when the Lord turned our captivity. We have a song to that, by the way. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to just keep looking back to those days, those good old days. I like to tell myself the good days are ahead, that the Lord is not done with the USA. This country is not over. That's why we have to pray for this election. We have to pray for the political situation. We have to pray for those in power. That's why we need to pray. Not just for the sake of this country as such, but that there would be time. There would be a measure of peace and order so that the church life can carry on and so that the gospel of the kingdom can be adequately preached across this land. And then also that the riches of this ministry, the truth, can be propagated to all the corners of this country. That more churches will be raised up and established as the testimony of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, can you not dream this dream with me? Or am I the only person so crazy and so nutty to think this way? So tonight, I don't have anything to tell you how to pray or whatever. I don't almost think I have said enough. Tonight, I want to ask you to pray. You know, the principle of overcomers is the principle of the remnant. It is a small percentage, a small number. God does not need a large number. He just needs a small number of pure-hearted ones who are fully consecrated with a Nazarite vow, who just live to him and his purpose. They're not great people. They're just absolute people. Shouldn't there be more in this country? Shouldn't they be in the church life of the Lord? Shouldn't they be building the body of Christ with us? Shouldn't they be constituted as part of that one new man? That must be manifested before the Lord can come back. So I don't know your conclusion, your feeling and thoughts, but I like to tonight just share this with you as a heavy burden on my heart. Some of you are older saints. This Labor Day, we will touch upon migration, which is a big thing, part of our outreach and bringing the truth of the gospel, the word of salvation, to these ones. But you can pray. You can be a Daniel. And together we can be a corporate Daniel. A corporate Daniel that would pray in this specific way. I say again, let me add this. Number one, to pray for this country. That the Lord would save this country, preserve this country. For a period of time, he would preserve the law and order. He would not allow this country to go off the cliff somewhere. For his use, this country for his use. And secondly, to pray for the seeking ones, the marked out ones that are meant for the Lord's recovery. As the recovery is meant for them. It shouldn't be just us, you and me, right? It cannot be. I believe many of these ones, as in those days, brotherly pray, would be young people. A younger generation. And through them could be their families, their acquaintances, their Christian friends, who knows? So that's all I want to share tonight. I want to just ask you to join me in this age-turning prayer in the U.S. Of course, needless to say, please continue to pray for the co-workers, pray for the move of GTCA, which is exactly for this purpose. Pray, by the way, I will end with this, that in an unprecedented way, all the churches and all the regions in this country will move as one man to Jerusalem. The oneness and the one accord. We will touch this in the Labor Day as well. I see the Lord is already going ahead of us in his mysterious ways. And I also sense the Lord's presence is with us. We can only go by that. To follow the footsteps of the Spirit and also the map, M-A-P, that is his presence. The Spirit without and the Spirit within. So that's all I have to say tonight. Perhaps I can stop here. And do remember this coming conference, of course, in a week and a half. Now, that conference is not a end all conference, you know, make it or break it kind of thing. No, but it will be a very crucial time of the blowing of the Lord's trumpet to us, his army. So we can begin to move with him. So do pray for that. That all the saints will hear that trumpet sound like John the Apostle did in the Isle of Patmos.
Amen.
A sure trumpet sound, and he turned and he saw the Son of Man in the midst of the golden lampstands. I hope this will be a special conference in this sense, that the saints will hear that trumpet voice and will respond by turning and seeing what the Lord is doing, and then can join in to cooperate with that. Okay, I think this is good enough. Don or?
Yes, Harry? Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru, for such a burdened word. I do believe that we can take heart from the way the recovery began in this country and the way now we are turning again to go forward, as our brother has shared, that we would pick up the burden for prayer for the seekers that the Lord has reserved for himself. I can say even personally, I have touched this feeling that there are more seekers out there that the Lord would call to the recovery in these days. So we need to pray for this country, even the election. We need to also pray that there will be a move of the Lord that will go forward through the whole country, and that all the churches would be one in one accord for this move, and that we ourselves would sense the burden of the Lord in this coming Labor Day conference, that we would give ourselves in a fresh way to open up, receive the burden of the speaking, and enter into it and let it govern us to a higher degree than before, to be the ones who can be overcomer remnant to turn to the Lord and cause his hand to move in an unprecedented way in this time. So we hope that all the saints will take this to heart and that all the churches will pick up this burden of prayer, not only tonight, but through the coming days and weeks, not only to the conference, but even beyond. That's the case. I don't believe there are other announcements. Then we can close this meeting, and then we will. You can go on to the respective prayer meetings, wherever they may be, and just pick up this burden. I believe you will touch the feeling of the Spirit when you come to this matter. And I think we can conclude the meeting at this time.